Good morning. Ladies say hey. Fellas say oh. That was awkward. Good times. Who slept for a good 8 hours? Raise your hand. You are wise beyond your years. 7 hours? Six? Five? Four? Three, two, Red Bull! Oh my gosh, you guys. As you get older, you'll come to find out that sleep is a blessing. How was adoration last night? It was awesome. I was sitting up in that corner. I had the box of club seats. I can't afford them outside of an event like this. I was just watching you guys, and man, you cry a lot. You cry a lot. I thought Father Chris was pepper spraying people under his veil as he was. You're like, I'm not feeling. Oh! Oh! It's burning! Pray for me! Just turns out Jesus is a savage. Shooting his merciful laser beams out the monstrance. Pew, pew! Pew! It's an amazing night, man. Such a good night. Ugh. I need your love like I need waffles. I need your love like it was Sunday. A Chick-fil-A. Wait, what? They're not open, though. Guys, I don't know what your experience was like here at Steubenville, but I oftentimes refer back to my first Steubenville experience. And it was just wild. It was like a social experiment, you know? But I remember it was Saturday night. It was right before adoration. I'm not quite sure who the host was. Someone's playing music for me. Sorry, am I hearing things? I didn't sleep that much either. But anyways, the host came out. Sorry, I'm getting totally weirded out. Do you know who's playing the guitar back there? Sorry. This is a really creepy moment. It's on film. I'm going to watch this later. But guys, the host came out and he's like, look, I don't know where you're at in your faith tonight, but I want you to say an honest prayer. And I was standing there going, nope, no way. Because my thought was, my parents are annoyed with me. My youth minister's annoyed with me. My parole officer's annoyed with me. God is perfect. He's going to be pissed. So I would rather just stay here and do my thing in silence. But before I knew it, my friends to my right, my friends to my left, they're all praying like this, and I'm doing one of these. Dang it. Fine, I'll try. And for one of the first times in my life, I uttered an honest prayer, and it sounded something like this. God, I'm sorry for everything, I guess. I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of, which you are all aware of. I've tried to quit, but I keep kind of falling back into certain behaviors, and I just figure you're angry with me. I would be angry, I mean, you know. So anyways, if you'd please help me, forgive me. I want to make better decisions. Help anyone who needs help. Amen. It's like that kid who's like volunteered not through his own free will to pray for the group. Is it Jesus? Amen. And this next moment I like to label as that awkward moment when you're about to cry in public. Has that ever happened to you? Obviously it did last night. See, guys and girls, we're a little bit different in this regards, aren't we? Girls, you like to cry. You welcome it. It's your favorite day of the week. Ladies, gather around. Us guys are playing basketball, football, whatever your sport of choice is. Someone tackles us, breaks our femur, the leg bone is sticking out of the skin, and we're like, yeah! 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 take a picture. I'm passing out. I'm passing out. Goodbye. I was at this conference Saturday night. I said this honest prayer. It was just a totally ugly prayer, but honest prayer. And I felt the tingles in my face, and I was fighting it. It's like, you know, because here's the thing. Girls, when they fight their tears, I do this. This is my full-time ministry. I do this for a living. I'm so grateful for it. God sends me out to I've been to 43 states. It's been amazing to witness to my faith. But it's crazy because what people will do, they'll set up a microphone and they'll let people come up and share what God did for them over the weekend. And I've seen this so many times that at this point it's scientific. It's repeatable. It's observable. It's proven. So usually a girl walks up first and this is how it goes down. Hi. Hi, this weekend was really good. Sorry. And all the girls in the crowd are like, "Aw, you can do it." She's like, "I can do it. I can do it. Hi, this weekend was really good." And they're all like, "Aww." She's like, "I'm Wonder Woman. I'm Wonder Woman. Sister Miriam told me I'm Wonder Woman. Hi! This weekend was really good. Because God." Okay, pause. Ladies, what are you doing with your hands? What is this? No! It's wrong. Haven't you studied science? Physics? You cannot produce enough energy and force with your little fingers to push tears back into your face. You lose every time. But you're like, "No, it's the mascara that I'm finding." You will be a raccoon every time. But then I realized that I pondered the mysteries of life and the mystery of women. I sat in on a couple women's talks at times at Steubenville. And I realized something. They're not trying to fight tears. They're communicating non-verbally with the girls that they came with. For instance, "Ladies in the back, the ones I came here with, I'm doing the hand thing. That means come up here and comfort me now." So eventually, they get off their phones, and they're like, "Oh, she's doing the hand thing. Let's go down from the really top high section." So all 20 of them come. Her entourage, her squad goals. And they walk up to her. And as soon as there's any physical contact, game over. Melts to the floor. Spontaneous combustion. After the janitor mops her off. Now it's a guy's turn. You know, we're different animals here. That's why they separate us for the men's and women's talks. But, you know, our brains are bathed in testosterone as we form in our mother's wombs, right? So here we go. "Football. What are you looking at?" "Anyways, this weekend was pretty good, you know what I'm saying? Because God. He did some stuff in my heart. You know what I mean? I don't normally like to talk about this stuff. Oh, Oh, there's something in my eye. Hold on. And all the dudes that he came with are standing there going, "You're dead to me." Said this honest prayer at Steubenville. Just fighting my tears, I just tilted my head back. Felt like that was my best option. And out my nostril. Ran to the bathroom. Washed my face, came back to my seat. I was like, what the crap was that? I literally thought I had a nervous breakdown because that had never happened before. But after I calmed down, I realized something, that for one of the first times in my life, I let God in. I opened the door of my heart. I gave him room. I gave him permission, which sounds really crazy because God is all powerful. But he chooses to be powerless in one way, and that's our heart, my friends, our free will. He doesn't want some robot. He doesn't want a minion worshiping him and wanting to love him and being loved by him. No, he wants people with real hearts who choose to love him, who choose to say, "Love me, help me." See, that's what a relationship is. And so there I was at Steubenville. I had met Christ. I had seen his glory on top of this mountain. I had experienced him, and that was a game changer because I knew he was real. I knew that when I prayed, he listened. And it's hard to quantify because I wasn't a very emotional person, but I felt his presence. And it was as if he just gave me a hug. I was expecting divine justice for him to smack me around a little bit and tell me how nothing I was. But instead, he hugged me and he called me his son, that he loved me, that he had a plan for me. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9, and I'm going to read this, and I know this is a challenge because as soon as we start reading the Bible, your eyes glaze over like donuts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this gospel in a British passage because everyone pays attention. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make 3 tents for you, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. You actually paid attention. Congratulations. Yeah, let's give it up for our British brothers and sisters. But mainly for Jesus, because this is his word. Now, guys, in this passage, we have the situation where the disciples, Peter, James, and John, they go up this mountain. And Jesus invites them, and he's setting up this huge prank, if you will. It's a prank because they hadn't seen who he truly was in his divine nature. He was truly God and truly man. They had just seen a lot of his humanity, but they hadn't quite really seen his divinity before them, except for the miracles. And all of a sudden, just imagine walking behind Christ and then, human light bulb. And they're like, "Nah!" And they feel like they're tripping out, or they just haven't drank water all weekend or something. And all of a sudden, Elijah and Moses are standing next to him, praying and worshiping Christ. And they're like, "Okay, this is a vision." And then God the Father speaks from the cloud. You know, this is kind of overwhelming. And Peter's like, always putting a sandal in his mouth, you know, just saying really dumb things. But he's like, "Hey, it's awesome that we're here. You want a tent? You want to Airbnb it? Whatever, man. Let's stay here. This is good." You see, Peter wanted to set up shop. He wanted to set up shop in this amazing moment. And just like some of you, you come to the Steubenville event, and you've experienced the Lord, you've experienced His presence. And it's good that we are here, just like St. Peter said. But there comes a point where we have to leave, and mainly that is after 12 o'clock today. We have to leave. We have to go back down the mountain. And for some of you, that's something that you do not look forward to. And I'm sure for Peter, he didn't want to go back down either. Because he felt so close to God, he felt safe, he felt joy, he felt amazed. And what was waiting for him back at that mountain didn't seem like any of those things. You know, I left my first Steubenville weekend conference on fire. A couple funny observations. One, I was wearing my little wristband thing till it got moldy. Like, me and my friends were like, guess who can wear theirs the longest? Let's do it. And like, it started getting like gross, and they're like, all right, never mind. You know, I noticed that I would just randomly chant, I love Jesus, yes I do, I love Jesus, how about you? And they're like, no. I noticed that when I got excited, I started cross-clapping. Yeah, he scored that basket. No? Okay. I was like a fish out of water, because here I had this experience, and it was very unique to hear. I was on fire. Like St. Peter, I wanted to build a tent, live on the Steubenville Mountain Conference forever, but I had to come back down, and when I did, I felt like I was totally sold out for God. I was on my way to sainthood. I was going to evangelize the world. And then the fire died about a week and a half later. Came over. So it seemed. You know, it's ironic. Because here's the thing, guys. Same habits, same friends, equals same outcome. Let me say that again. Same habits, same friends, equals same outcome. If you go down this mountain expecting for life to be completely different, but you keep the same habits, just business as usual, same situation, same schedule, same attitudes, same way of talking, same way of acting, same way of treating my parents, same way of treating my family, same way of hanging out with these friends, same friends who whenever I hang out with them, I'm doing sketchy. Because here's the thing, guys, the friends that we hang out with, that says a lot about who we are. And that's not even being judgmental, that's just being scientific. Because psychology shows us, human behavior shows us that we like to emulate the people we feel closest to. And so consider, who are your friends? Are these friends leading you closer to God or further away? When I hang out with these friends, am I doing things that I know are morally wrong? Am I falling into sin whenever I hang out with these friends because I want to feel like I fit in? Is it just negative city every time I hang out with this group where we're just gossiping, tearing people down, bullying other people? Or we're doing things on the weekend that we know for sure don't resonate in our hearts for what God has for us? Same habits, same friends, equals same outcome. So the question becomes, even before you leave this mountain, do you want the same outcome? Do you want the same life? Because the irony is, you could have had this amazing experience. You could have learned so much about your faith. You could have been convicted in so many ways and learned so many things. And you go back down and nothing changes. Why? Same habits, same friends, equals same outcome. So consider what you want your outcome to be even before you head down this mountain. The definition of insanity, according to Albert Einstein, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Let's not be insane. Let's be real about this. You've heard the term, you've heard the phrase, knowledge is power, right? Who's heard that before? Knowledge is power. Students, knowledge is power. That's a lie. I'm lying to you. I'm sorry. Knowledge is not power. It is not worth a wick of a thing. Knowledge is not power. Putting knowledge into practice, that's where things get powerful. That's where things change. Knowledge is only power when you put it into practice. So once again, what have you learned this weekend? How have you been convicted? What has God said to you? What has He shown you? And how are you going to now put it into practice? Because if you do not, then this weekend, in some sense, is a giant waste. Don't let this weekend go to waste. Don't let what God has done for you go to waste. What a precious gift this time has been. What a wonderful gift this time has been. Don't let it go to waste. You know, God never checks out on us. We check out on God. God never, ever checks out on us, but we check out on God. Sometimes we give into the lie, and it was a temptation that started all the way in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Satan slithers up, and he says, you know what? God's holding out on you. He told you not to eat from this tree. He's holding out on you. You want this. You need this. And we believe the same crap in 2017. Because we know. And there's something in our life. There's a lifestyle choice. There's a sin. There's a situation. And we're battling. We're wrestling. Yeah, and we're like, I know that's wrong, but it looks so nice. It's going to be so pleasurable. It's going to, what the grub. And isn't that the same lie? That we believe that God is holding out on us. That when he says no to something, he's just saying, be miserable. Don't be happy. And Satan's saying, you can't trust this guy. Go. Do what you want. And that is the same lie. And we give into that lie over and over and over again. And then our heart gets muddied with sin. And we feel weighed down. We feel like God's abandoned us. God has abandoned me. God hasn't abandoned us. We've abandoned him. God hasn't checked out on us. We check out on him. You know, it's like this emoji. It's this like cartoon I once saw of this guy looking through a telescope going, God, where are you? And Jesus is like 20 stories tall and the telescope is stuck to his leg and he's like, I'm right here, dude. Where are you? I've been here all along and I'm waiting for you. God doesn't check out on us, we check out on him. Shortly after my first Doomerville experience, I checked out. I went to college and I wanted to major not in business or English or philosophy. I wanted to major in partying and that's what I did. And I got a pretty good GPA in that. And I partied and I raged and I thought I was having the time of my life. And that seemed more attractive to me than what I had learned at Steubenville, what I had been taught and raised to do. And you know what? It caught up with me because I was miserable. I was empty. I felt lost. Because all the things the world was telling me would fill my heart. A cute girlfriend, partying it up, having the greatest time of my life in college, just acting foolishly like this was supposed to be life. And yet, I felt like I had no life in the midst of it. But the weirdest thing happened. You see, a lifeline that I held on to was the rosary. You see, we had been taught to pray the rosary at this conference. And I discovered that it wasn't a medieval torture device, you know, based to destroy ADD and that sort of thing. But it was a prayer where you'd pray the prayers that we all know and we'd meditate on the mystery. So it was really weird, but I kept praying this in college. So I'd go out and party, and I'd come back to my dorm room. And I don't know if it was a little bit of a guilty conscience, but I would just kneel at the side of my bed, and obviously my dorm mates weren't there, and I'd pray the rosary. And in those moments of prayer, I felt more peace. I felt more joy and fulfillment than at the club or at the party or messing around. And weird things started happening, like I'd pray the rosary. I'm not saying I'm something special, but I'd pray the rosary and I'd start smelling roses. And I don't wear rose perfume, people. I don't pray in the garden and go, whoa. Like out of nowhere, like the smell of roses would just manifest. And I believe with all my heart that was a Blessed Mother showing up and saying, Paul, I'm with you, I'm praying for you. And this mysterious presence of the Blessed Mother leading me back to her son. And that's what happened. She won this tug of war. And I was led back to the sacraments. I went back to confession. I started praying every day. I started going to Mass every Sunday. I started going to the young adult group, the Catholic group on campus. And ironically, my faith had died because I wasn't doing what made my Steubenville experience amazing. Think about it, guys. What do we do here? We pray every day. We read the Bible. We pray the rosary. We go to Mass. We go to confession. You're surrounded by good people who are living their faith. You are being active in your faith in the context of your youth group or your community. And that's what made Steubenville so amazing. And I wasn't doing any of that. And that's why I was so miserable. But when I returned, I got a taste of the goodness that I had experienced on top of that mountain. Brothers and sisters, you've all been given a card, yeah? Can you pull that card out really quick? On this card, we have given you tools. We have given you your weapons, if you will. We have given you a strategy to continue to live this experience in your daily lives. So let's go through it together. The first one is Mass. Mass is the ultimate mountaintop experience, and it's what we're going to do in less than an hour right here on this stage. We're going to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world via his word and also through the Eucharist. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing more important than the Mass because it's the source and summit of our Christian faith. We encounter God himself. You'd be flipping your lids if Pope Francis walked through the door. You're like, what are you doing here? What if Jesus Christ showed up? You'd be like,
he's everywhere.
No, but he's actually and truly present. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's going to descend into this arena, onto this altar, and he wants to become your food. Hello.
Hello.
Mass, the ultimate mountaintop experience, at least once a week, guys. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Unless your leg is chopped off and bleeding out, or you're in the middle of an island because your plane crashed, there's no reason for you to miss Mass. Okay, maybe there are other medical conditions, but there is usually no reason to miss Mass.
Well, I was vacationing.
Okay, masstimes.org. There's an app for your phone. Now you have no excuse because you can look up every Mass time on the face of the planet.
Brothers and sisters, if you make time for God, you are showing who you love. You always make time for what and who you love, amen?
Do you love God?
Then prove it.
Mass every Sunday. And believe it or not, it's a hidden secret of the church. You can actually go during the weekday. I mean, you're going to be, the median age is going to be about 84, but you need to bring that average down.
Oh, look at that. You want to be a priest?
I'm a girl. I can't even be one. Oh.
Gets really confusing, but just push through it. Push through it. Jesus is waiting for you, brothers and sisters. Confession. Who went to confession this weekend? Raise your hand.
Girl, you look beautiful, sparkling, glowing.
You're glowing because of the mercy of Christ. Brothers and sisters, don't wait once a year every time you go to Steubenville.
You take a shower once a year? Ill.
Go once a month. Start with that. I personally go once every month or at least every 2 weeks. And I don't do that because, you know, I think I'm a crazy person, but it's because it keeps me accountable, one, but also I get to wash myself in the blood of Christ. And it's amazing. It's amazing what confession will do to help you, not only to be forgiven of your sins, because it's only for serious sins. We know that through our catechism, yeah? For grave sins. But even if you don't have a grave sin on your heart that you need to bring before the Lord, even the little ones, because what it does is it gives you not only God's mercy in a sacramental way, but it also gives you the strength to resist whatever you're struggling with next time. So brothers and sisters, go once a month. Keep your heart clean. Stay close to the Lord. Another thing is prayer. Guys, prayer isn't just a part of your relationship with God. It is your relationship with God, period. Okay, if you're not praying, then you don't have a relationship with God anymore. Once again, God doesn't check out on us. We check out on him. So brothers and sisters, make prayer a daily habit. We are people of habit, yeah? You thankfully, or hopefully, you've taken the habit of brushing your teeth every day. In our social media talk, we talked about how addictive this thing is. And so often, like, the first thing we do when we wake up, we're like, why the crap do we need to check this? Just, like, breathe. Say a prayer. Talk to God. Start your day with prayer. Pray before your meals. Pray before you have a test. Pray while you're driving so you don't kill people on the road. Pray when you're tempted. Believe it or not, I pray quite often because I'm tempted so much. So when I am tempted to do X, Y, and Z, I turn it into a prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm about to get crazy on this person. You died for me, so I wouldn't destroy them and bring them to you, okay?
Just whatever you need to do, bring Jesus into your temptation. Bring Jesus into your prayer. Bring Jesus into that moment. Because when you do, you'll be able to receive the strength you need to do the right thing. So prayer, just start with baby steps, guys. 10 minutes a day, 15, 20, build it up. Pray the Bible. There's a lot of apps for your phone that you can download, a Bible app, a rosary app. There's so many things. Pray the rosary. Learn your faith and participate in your youth group, guys. Stay connected. You can't do this alone. You can't do this alone. And also, accountability partner. You need people in your life. You need mentors. You need people who are going to encourage you to do the right thing, even when it's hard and inconvenient. Surround yourself with someone, a caring adult in your life. Friends, this is so important. For myself, once a month, I meet with a priest who I trust and love, and he's called my spiritual director. And I bounce my struggles off him. He hears my confession, and I'm able to ask him questions and for advice that I need to do this life right, to glorify God in it. If you are struggling, my brothers and sisters, because this weekend has exposed a lot of things perhaps in your heart, a lot of heavy stuff, guys, don't do it alone. Talk to someone, amen? Talk to a caring adult, your parent, your pastor, your youth minister, a counselor, a therapist, whatever you need to do. Weakness is not acknowledging that you have issues. You know what weakness is? It's seeing that you have issues and you don't do crap about it. That's what weakness is. It takes a person of strength and character to look at their problems in the eye and say, I will not let you defeat me. Some of you wrestle with real things. There are real demons in your life. But God is victorious, and he doesn't want you to do this alone. He does not want you to do this alone. For us as Catholics, we need to walk with Christ each day. And if we hold on to him, then we have the victory. If we stay close to him, we've already won the battle. So stay close to him. Brothers and sisters, God has a magnificent plan, a magnificent story for your life. For myself, for the speakers, for everyone here who's volunteering, God has touched our lives, and this is why we're here sharing what he's done for us. But it doesn't stop with us. It continues with you. I know it sounds cliche, but there are people in this world and in your life who need to hear what God has done in yours. They need you to live your faith. They are counting on you to be that witness for them, and you will be the lifeline that connects them to Christ. So many times throughout the gospel, the disciples simply led people to Christ. Say, here he is. And that was a game changer. That was a game changer. And that process of invitation has led to 2017, where there are over 1 billion Catholics in this world. This is why we're gathered here. Because 12 disciples stuck their necks out to be the difference. So brothers and sisters, do not underestimate your witness online and offline. Online and offline, to be a witness of what it means to live a life that is full and true and good and beautiful. You don't have to be awkward. People think, if I live my Catholic faith, all of a sudden I'm going to be weird and lose all my friends. All righty then. I am Catholic. I don't know how to have fun. So I'll stare at you and pray. Jesus loves you. Okay. Frightening. No, rather, St. Irenaeus says that the glory of God is man fully alive. Let me say that again. The glory of God is man and woman fully alive. So when you are fully alive, that is so attractive to people. Because they will look at you and say, what is it that they have that I don't? Why are they joyful? Why do they have hope? Why are they different? Why do they treat people kindly? Be the difference. Amen? Brothers and sisters, there is so much more to say. But you get to go down this mountain and you get to go make a mess for God in the best way possible. Thank you so much for being here. We love you. God bless you.